CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Unbranded. I am Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we look at the relationship between brain power and brand power, how brands impact people and people impact brands. Today we have a special episode that is quite dear to me on many, many levels. We're going to look at how exposure, youth exposure, can impact their future potential. We have an extraordinary youth leadership mind all the way from Philadelphia, Mr. Rick Ramsey, global leadership expert. And he's back in South Africa after a while. Welcome back to South Africa.
Yeah, it's great to be back. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you on the show. You've been here for less than 24 hours. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I, you know, slept a little bit on the plane, and I had my Nando's chicken about a half hour ago, so I'm good to go.
Awesome. So, before you were a youth leadership expert, social entrepreneur, you're at some point a youth yourself. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in the central part of the States. I grew up in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, it's an interesting piece because I went to college on the East Coast, at Hampton University in Virginia. And then I went to business school in New York City. But the central point of my being really is more centered in terms of the United States physically and mentally, right? Awesome. In terms of identifying what is, you know, what is one's perception and view of what life and career should be, and then being able to select that based on what you're exposed to, and not necessarily because I'm from the Midwest or because I'm from the West, this is the way we always think. I shot to the East Coast and have been on the East Coast ever since.
When you were 16, what type of kid were you? Were you athletic? Were you an outgoing youth?
You know, that's a good question, because when people meet me now, they're like, you are, you know, type A extrovert. You're right in the center of the room. When I was 16 years old, I hadn't discovered that or uncovered that yet. I am the youngest of three of a single parent household. We got federal and state subsidy in my household, my mom. I didn't know it, but I was a working kid. I worked at the local grocery store, and I worked as many hours as I could to you know, develop and buy my own everything, my own car, my own everything. So I was a working kid, although I did run track, but I didn't spend a lot of time with that because I had to go to work, you know.
That's really interesting. So your first prom, I imagine you had Halle Berry at your prom.
Man, I'll tell you, our first prom in Colorado, so you have to put the context, right? In Colorado, there are what we thought was a large African-American population. So we figured there was plenty of us, right? When in fact, it's actually very small. I'm going to say it's probably less than 10% of the total city's population of Denver. But at our prom, we had there was that girl, right? And quiet as kept, I tried to get her to go to the prom with me. She politely said no, because she went with the basketball star.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And there I was. I had a prom date, but it wasn't anything.
It wasn't Halle Berry.
No, it wasn't. But Halle Berry was there. She was just with the basketball star.
Got it. It's not just you, your family. Education is important to your family. Tell us a bit more about your sort of family history, some of the things you guys been able to do. I know you had a charter school you guys developed from scratch.
Yeah, so we, my wife and I, have took this road of once we had our first daughter, we decided that we would focus in this world of education, because the funny thing, we said either this education world of owning your own school is a major hustle, or you could actually impact young people's minds. So we purchased a franchise in Philadelphia, and the franchise grew to multiple units. And then we sold the franchise at the peak time of great return on the investment. I think we got like 11 or 12 times our earnings. And then my wife developed her own brand called the Willow School. And the Willow School focuses on those students who are economically disadvantaged. But what she really wants to do is grow them up so that they can actually compete, regardless of the fact that these students can't afford that very strong or very expensive early childhood development schools. And so we have the Willow School now, and it has grown, and it's impacting, you know, a few hundred kids a year. And we have also had experiences in running programs in the after-school space as well.
This idea of going global is nothing new. I mean, you guys have had work, and your wife has worked in Brazil. Mm-hmm. You guys are sort of, your positioning is global in general. You are global, you're curious from a global perspective.
Exactly. You know, what I like about this topic today and the timeliness of a topic that's tied to globalization and globalism is because right now in America, everything's talking about the nationalist view, right? And that some countries, including Germany, there is political moves afoot to talk to the nationalism. But I like to say it's a little too late. Technology has made it so that we communicate on a global basis. I am here in Johannesburg because we are looking to engage with global families, right, and bring them to America. So we have had a interest and a drive to have engagement with other people, people other than, you know, my wife and I and the work that we've done in education for some time. So being in Brazil for a little bit and then having worked in Ireland and then in Kenya, of course, and in Ethiopia.
Awesome. Would you say that, like you said, it's a bit too late to be thinking from a nationalist agenda. Would you say that all youth, all parents, from the very get-go should be thinking early how to position their youth to be and their kids to be considering some sort of global opportunity?
It's paramount. You have, from a perspective of I as a parent have now had this child and we're running and playing catch together right up until age 9, 10, 11. And right at age 11, one needs to be thinking about how do I as a parent set the path for my child so that I am setting him or her up for success. And that means we have to start looking at, which you are the expert of, this thing called your child's brand. And people like to think that, well, once my child is 18, 19 years old, he or she can then determine how to develop their own brand. But we as parents have great influence on that. And that influence is driven by the exposures that we provide our children. And many times it's unintentional. You take a trip, you know, you save up to take a great trip to, you know, some great country. And what your child gets out of that is not necessarily the five-star hotel they may have stayed in, but the fact that they've noticed the impoverished children on the street. And they become, you know, driven to seek to improve that those conditions throughout the world. But they're only 14 years old. They're only 12 years old. And as a parent, if you're not intentional about making those exposures, you may miss a great opportunity to develop the next great, you know, social activist or world leader.
We're talking to Rick Ramsey. He is sort of the founder of Nexus Leadership, which we'll talk a bit more in a moment about more in a moment. But you first came to SA and fell in love with it. Where did the romance begin?
Well, the romance began, you know, we sought to grow up a generation of, in this case, African-American young people that had a global perspective on what it takes to actually thrive in the workplace. And so we were given this opportunity maybe some almost 10 years ago now by none other than Oprah Winfrey, who wanted my organization at the time to introduce her girls at the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy to the program work that we were doing. Instead of them being, in essence, kept in this isolated bubble, we said, well, what if we bring American students, African-American, Native Americans from the reservations in Arizona and Latino students to South Africa? And upon my arrival, there was just this significant kinship I felt. And I'm going to give a quick shout out to my favorite place in Soweto. It's called the 707. It's the best braai that I've ever had. But I absolutely, adore, the flavor and the vibe of Johannesburg in particular.
You know, you mentioned Oprah, like you're talking about, somebody's cousin. Oprah is a global icon. Let's pause for a moment and just sort of acknowledge that working with her, you must have learned some extraordinary things. What is one thing you learned about how she approaches her passion, life and youth?
Yeah. The one thing that I will say that Oprah said to me that has stuck with me all these years, and as simple as this phrase is going to be, it's kind of comical on the other end. But I remember riding with her in the golf cart at the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy. And I was telling her all the great things that we were planning for her girls. 25 of her girls were coming into our program for the first time at VITS. And I was sharing our vision and my passion for this work. And then I also shared with her the struggles that I was having with engaging with certain families here and there. And I remember her just looking over at me, and this is as simple as it sounds, but it was powerful to me. She looked over at me and she just said, "Rick, you know, we all have our gifts." And the comical part about this is I looked at her and I sort of looked around and I said, "Well, your gifts are better." She laughed, but it's the truth of the matter is that the most powerful statement I received from her is basically we all have our lane. And her lane is just the lane that's been just ordained by God for her to lead. She's got that big life, and she is required to live in that big life. And I have my life, and you have your life, and we're required to stay in that lane. So a remarkable lady on all levels. But that was just very telling to me about don't look at what others have around you. You have yours. Sure. You have your gifts, so use them.
You are passionate about institutionalizing programs and opportunities, and one of your biggest strengths is what you do behind the scenes, the business of it, and structuring things so that they're sustainable and that they're sound and parents can feel safe. And your business background translates extremely well in this space. Tell us a bit more about your approach to going about programs like Nexus.
Right. The way this begins is the knowledge that I'd gotten from going to business school. You know, it's so interesting how people say, you know, well, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to start my own business, but I don't need to go to business school. And I am one of those who will raise the flag pretty high to say, you will learn things within business school that not help you with the fundamentals of how to start a business, accounting, marketing, finance. You can get that and you can pick that up. But what you learn is how to actually find your voice in a business environment. And finding your voice in a business environment will help you lead businesses or lead entrepreneur ventures in a way that doesn't put your heart on the table. So many times people start a business because they have passion for a particular area, but what they don't realize is that you've got to be able to look at whether or not this is going to drive revenue for the operation and what are the expenses that are tied to this such passion that you must have this particular office facility and this particular car and this particular look. Well, guess what? That just sucked all the cash out of your quote-unquote business and passion of love. What I found is when I was in business school, one of my classmates said to me, "Rick, you need to identify what actually drives you in business." And believe it or not, it turned into that being youth development. And so then I had to find a way to monetize this world of youth development. And I tie this all back to the fact that having an appreciation for the quantitative elements of your passion will help you deliver not only the revenue that is get the net income that you need, but also you'll be able to get up every day to say that I'm doing this because I have drive and passion for it and not just because it's, you know, my vision to be able to do this. Well, what are the numbers behind it?
One of the things that I've noticed and observed in your work is, unlike a lot of organizations that aren't run as sound on solid principles, you want the brightest minds around you as well. You take it extremely serious. And a lot of organizations literally, you know, they run on sort of like Mickey Mouse structures, Mickey Mouse budgets, and they have people who have no idea. All they have is passion, and it's vulnerable. So people are going, they start stuff up and it's crashing overnight. You see things long term. your work with LEED. You were with LEED many years, able to raise and build relationships at the highest level, dealing with top Fortune 500 companies. What did you learn about making a difference, the business of making a difference, when you were with LEED? Because you were there how many years?
12 years.
You were 12 years dealing with powerful Wall Street players. What did you learn in that space?
To be humble. What you need to do is arrive in the conversation, whether you're looking to raise money for an NGO or a nonprofit, or you're raising money for your latest business venture. Arriving in the room as a humble servant to say to, you know, to provide the appearance that I'm actually here to learn. Yes, I've got my own agenda. Everybody has their own agenda. Everyone is in the room with their own agenda. But what you have to do, I believe, is be respectful of people's time and be able to then share with them what your vision and passion is, and then quite frankly, shut up. And then let them share with you where their interest is or where their interest lies in the work that you do. More times than not, there isn't going to be a connection, but you have to be able to get up from that table and be gracious and grateful for having the opportunity to sit with that very low-level person, because 6 months later, all of a sudden they're introducing you to this most powerful person, and you could have never gotten there on your own. And I say it to folks all the time. I love the fact that I eat my humble pie every time I'm in an environment where I have to actually pull or seek to raise funds or actually get, you know, receive something from someone else. And I relish in the fact. I'll play up someone's ego all the way up to where their head explodes in the room, but that's okay.
You out of your sort of, I call it your corporate social entrepreneurship experience, you basically always had this vision of things you wanted to do yourself, and which led you to sort of launch this Nexus program. Was there a moment where you're in the bathroom, where you're on the road, you're on a flight, where you're in the middle, I know you frequent New York often, where you're in the middle of Times Square, when did you make that decision where you're going to launch this program?
I believe it came when I was running, and I'm just daily running. I'm not a marathon, you know, I'm not like you. I run and then I stop and go, okay, this is enough for today. But I was running, and I remember at the close of that day's run, I began to think back, and it's interesting you ask that question, because it goes back to the question that my classmate at NYU gave to me some 10, almost 20 years ago, now 20 years ago. And he said to me, you know, what are they going to write on your tombstone, Rick? What is your value? Now, at the time, I was working for a company that was a traditional consumer products company, and we made crayons. And he said, so let me get this right, Rick. At the end of the day on your tombstone, they're going to make, he made great crayons. And so he, at that time, he shifted my thinking, right?
The colors were beautiful.
The colors were beautiful. Blue was great. I was responsible for blue, no. but he opened my eyes then. And in this latest iteration, I'm the father of three daughters. And my youngest daughter is a junior in high school. So I'm at a different stage in my life. And I wasn't really ready to just simply run our school with my wife, and which is doing very well. But I also wasn't ready to just sit within major corporation again. And I made the very conscious view after that run that I'm going to launch this, and I'm going to be thoughtful about the approach. I'm not going to be high-minded in the fact that I've done this type of work for many years. This should be a piece of cake. And I'm going to be humble with how I go about this approach. And it took about 7 minutes after that run to say, this is what I'm going to do. And then since that point, over the past 2 years, we've been putting it in place.
Now you're doing it. You've had 2 years domestic work, and now you're ready to launch South Africa and other parts of Africa and different parts of the world. So you're here. We end this conversation, and it's congratulations, because a lot of people can have that moment when they're running and they still, you know, they're still having it.
Yeah.
Right? So great job. And tell us about the fundamental pieces of how the Nexus program works and what your goals are.
Right. So the fundamental piece, I send this out to the parents that are out there, and particularly mom is my customer. And the fundamental piece of what Nexus is and why it works has everything to do with the role of mom, and in many cases dad, but mostly mom. And this goes back to the earlier point we made in our conversation today, and that is, how do we prepare our children? You know, we have our children and our expectations that we want to give them everything we can, right? Well, the game of identifying the right fit for college and getting ready for careers is a very sophisticated game that's happening around the world now. And there are parents and families that understand how to prepare their children so that that child is the right fit. And so what we do at Nexus is we make sure that children can discern what the right cultural fit will be for them at university before they apply. Simply put, we're not seeking to help you increase your scores on a test or, you know, exposing you to a robotics course that's over a three-day period and now you're in robotics. No, you're not. You just had 3 days of playing with Legos, right? And that's okay, but just call it what it is. What we're in the business of is helping mom to help her child discern where their place is going to be in university. Once a child understands where his or her place will be in university culture, then they're better able to determine an area of focus and interest, be it science or engineering and so forth. We like to look at the program as having a test drive of both the university environment and a particular career. So what we're doing here in Johannesburg is we, and for South Africa overall, is we are looking for top talent students to consider putting their toe in the American university water prior to their senior year in high school. Spend 2 weeks at a rigorous American university like University of Pennsylvania, which is a top 10 Ivy League university. Get a taste of the speed at which the content is given, the rigor at which you're expected to deliver, but most importantly, the lifestyle one would expect if you were a student at the University of Pennsylvania. Many times, students get accepted to top schools, they get in those schools, and sometimes they transfer. They don't usually flunk out because they're very bright students, but they'll transfer from a school and people will go, well, what happened? You know, why didn't things work out at Yale or Oxford? And it has everything usually to do with cultural fit. And if you cannot connect with that university's culture, you will transfer out. What we're in the business of doing is helping mom to help that child discern their cultural fit, and then the other pieces of it are mechanical.
And mom is going to save a lot of money, because if you lose time in these transfers, you end up paying extra.
You better
believe it. You could have protected. So whatever amount the program cost, they probably could have saved it. They probably end up saving it in the long run.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and the other thing that we like to add into this is back to that corporate, the relationships that I've made through these years with corporate partners. And the good news about that is I've stayed connected to them. But what we've been able to do at Nexus is say a particular area of focus. Let's say, for example, the real estate industry. When students are 16, 17 years old, you'd be hard-pressed to walk up to a 17-year-old and say, how about a career in commercial real estate? You, too, could make millions of dollars. First of all, they'll go out, what is commercial real estate? Oh, you mean like the building that's down the street? No, mm-hmm. Right? But what we do is we get the Commercial Real Estate Association in America. They put dollars to offset the cost of running the actual program. We brand it to students as business. Commercial real estate is business. And business entrepreneurship. And so high school students are interested in being entrepreneurs. But then what we do once they come into the program, we build out this rigorous experience that has to be that is tied to business entrepreneurship before the commercial real estate industry. What mom gets with Nexus is she's going to pay, and for this year, about $1,000 or 13,000 Rand less than what she will pay if she just simply went online and said, I'm going to go to a university program.
Got it.
Right. So that's sort of the other piece. We bring in that corporate influence so we can actually bring down the cost and make the programs more affordable.
Got it. When I've been in SA just over a decade, and I remember when I first came, the middle class in South Africa, was fairly small. You know, in terms of black middle class, you're talking about two or so million. Now, that number has ballooned. So what that really means to your mom that you want to appreciate this program is that her child is entering a competitive space. More people are able to get education. So her child needs to be exposed to more options and opportunity if they're going to compete from a personal brand perspective. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about the opportunity in this program. But you've partnered on the ground with Safety Net to help roll this out, to have a voice on the ground. You know, when you and Safety Net are going out and connecting with young people, what does this mom look like? Because, you know, there are millions of moms in this country. Which mom should be at these info sessions?
You know, this is mom who is engaged with her child's development. You know, there is this mom, the way this mom looks in another light is the mom who's immersed in the space of her child being the next great soccer player, next great basketball player, next great football player, right? This is the mom who wants her child to be the next great leader. And what this mom is saying is, I'm going to pay attention to courses that my child is taking in high school so that he or she is best positioned for the college that's going to be the right fit. And I'll give you an example. People will come around and you've heard of the Wharton School of Business at University of Pennsylvania. It is the number one business school around the world. Well, we introduce students to an education at the Wharton School, and they're going into their senior year of high school. Well, if you haven't taken calculus yet before your senior year, you're not getting into Wharton. I don't care how strong your SAT score was or how great your GPA is or where in the world you're from. If you haven't taken calculus, a full year's calculus in your junior year of high school, you're not getting in.
Wow.
And so it's about exposing students to that work. And this mom is going to know that in order for me to best prepare my child, and if my child is interested in business and we want to go to the top business school, we will help you understand what it's required. These are the things that aren't said until it's too late, right? So the mom we're seeking is one who is invested in her child's development in the high school years.
Got it. You know, take us through the beginning. The mom now comes on board. She goes, you know what? I'm so thrilled. I want to make a deposit. I'm involved. Take us through the first thing that happens with the child up until they actually return back from America. Take us through that process.
Right. So it begins with going to nexus-program.com. And they make
Nexus Dash. And program is that, you know, in South Africa is two M's and E.
Right.
Is it just one M?
It's one M.
Nexus Dash Program, one M.
Yep, .com. So you make application. We've made the application very simple. It's not one of these overblown, send me 75 different writing samples. Folks, it's a summer or a winter program. We're not accepting you to college, right? So, again, for the student and the mom. So once they are admitted into the program, what Nexus will do for the Johannesburg and the Cape Town community is we're going to bring over a cohort. So way before, it's not going to be one of these instances where your child's been accepted to an American program, stick them on the airplane by themselves, and someone will be on the other end to pick them up. Completely the opposite. What we're going to do is build community and build a cohort that is both online and actually in person here in Johannesburg. And the Safety Net folks are going to help us actually bring that community together, both online and here in Johannesburg. And we're going to take that cohort over as one group. When they land at the University of Pennsylvania, and we're also at Villanova University this year, they'll be met, and we're going to then move into some of the cultural leadership development tactics immediately. One of which day one is the Wear All White Party. Many people have been to all white parties. It's the hip, she thing to do. But the reason we do it is because we're working with teenagers. Teenagers size each other up upon arrival by what you have on. If you have on the latest Prada and the latest, then you go to this side. If you don't, you go to this side. Right. What we do is require the students to arrive in whiteness, a white T-shirt, white shorts, whatever, because when you all have on white, white looks like white. And if you have on a Prada T-shirt and it's all white, it's going to look just like a Walmart T-shirt. Exactly. So this is the first component of our cultural development that we look to introduce to the students.
After that, neutralize
your identity. That's exactly what it is. And now the students can engage in conversation. After that, we pour on the rigor. From the university, we provide SAT prep, which is the standard test in the states that's required. But we give it so that the parents can have a base mark so that when they get home and they want to start taking a practice, they actually want to take an SAT, right? They have a base mark. We're giving them the exact conditions. And on the weekends and the evenings, we do a lot of great stuff. We have step practice. We have a full step show that is pulled from the Historically Black Colleges and Universities group. And we have one of the fraternities and sorority folks that teach it every night. We actually did that here at Vince Waters Van for the first time some 7-8 years ago. So it all started here, but we've carried it over to the States.
And I'm sure students love it.
Oh, they love it. And because they design the costumes, if you don't step, you write the rhymes, right? And if you don't step, you help do the publicity around campus so that the other camps that are on campus will see the final step show along with the work that you're doing on understanding the accounting and marketing and finance and your business plan competition, and awards are given.
And this stepping is sort of a rhythmic sort of choreographed movement that students, and it's over music, or how
yeah, so it's everything that you've just laid out. Historically Black colleges and universities in America have picked up this activity of stepping as a means of performance art, and it has now grown into cultures from around the world are actually doing stepping on university campuses as a way of showcasing your fraternity or your sorority or your group and organization. So we do it as a nightly activity that's just fun, but it grows into, at the end of the program, yeah, we're bright, yeah, we're smart, yeah, we're very talented high school students, but we can also get it in when it comes to stepping, right? And it sends a message to the rest of the campers on the university campus that, yeah, they're the smart kids, but yeah, we know how to have fun too.
Got it. So when is the first program?
The first program is, I'm thinking of the dates here. The first program will be the University of Pennsylvania. We'll be at the Arts and Sciences School. The folks will focus on Africana and American studies, global leadership, and entrepreneurship. And it's going to start, I believe, on June the 18th and run to July 2nd. And the second program is at Villanova University, which will be starting on July the 8th. And it will run till July the 20th. But if folks go to the nexus-program1m.com, on the front page you'll see those two programs plus our additional program, which is at Georgia State University, and it's also in July.
And students from South Africa can participate in either of these programs?
In all three.
All three.
And what we're really, the hook of all of this is we really want to build this globalization of learning amongst teens, and this idea of having summer, there's summer camps all over the world, but the way in which we're seeking to address this issue of how do we develop teens that can thrive on competitive university campus that are exceptionally diverse. The higher level the university is, or the more competitive the university is, the more diverse that campus is, not just through ethnicities, but through all aspects of human life. One thing that students may struggle with is if they have not been exposed to people who are unlike them, that have opinions other than their own, and now they're in a university environment, and guess what? We're putting you both on a team, and now you have to figure it out for your grade. That's when students start melting down. So we're saying, let's put them together now. Let's put them together while they're in high school. So we welcome the South African community to make application to come together with the American students in America.
Moms are going to get a lot of bang for their buck based on the way you've been able to structure it in a highly efficient manner, mm-hmm. a very safe way. You've worked out logistics because of your years of experience of working with international programs. So most of the risks are really out of it. You've really taken care of and dealt with those things. What is left for the mom to consider? Like, bottom line, all she needs to do is go on to nexus-program1m.com, and they can apply and get going, right?
That's really it. And know that we will be adding more programs in the future. I mean, you spoke earlier. I've been in this lane for 10 years. I ran programs with South African students, bringing them to South Africans, bringing Americans to South Africa. We've done it both ways here. And so I'm very familiar with the logistics challenges that come from leaving from such a major airport like Tambo to, you know, Philadelphia or to New York. And more importantly, mom needs to rest assured that as a dad of three, my eldest daughter has gone through these programs. We are sensitive to knowing that we are taking your most precious object that you hold, right? And we're bringing that young person to America. But at the end of the day, we've got to grow up a generation of Africans and Americans that can actually engage with each other on university campuses, wherever they are. And Nexus is going to center itself as being that conduit or that vehicle to make that happen.
Whether your kid is black, white, colored, Indian, you know, I suggest, mom, you consider this. I know how much international exposure has changed my life. I have a couple of kids that I mentor. I actually mentor an Indian kid, a white kid named Ryan, and another kid from Limpopo named Lucky Madensela. All of them have been on international programs, and they all have done extraordinary things. So I really appreciate your passion, Rick. Is there anything else you want to share that you think moms and families and kids should definitely know about this program?
I think just in closing, what I'd like for mom to do, and I know at times these types of interviews can come off as, you know, the commercial for someone's organization, but we really have to be serious about this thing called developing your child's well-being. In America right now, we see it in the news. There's a lot of demonstration from people who aren't particularly supportive of the new leadership. Well, that new leadership did not arrive there by happenstance. He won that election. And so if we're looking to grow up the next generation of thoughtful and caring and strong leaders, then it starts with you, mom and dad, and it starts with you doing all you can. It doesn't have to be my program, but you've got to do more in the summers and in the winter breaks. You can't wait until they're seniors or 12th grade high school to go, now we're just going to go to college. Oh, you'll be fine. It's too competitive. It's way too competitive. And you'll look up and your very bright and talented child will not get into a college that you know they would have thrived at only because you just didn't prepare. And it's just a matter of preparing. So whether it's Nexus or it's another program, you've got to get moving on the winter breaks and on the summer breaks.
That's Rick Ramsey, Nexus Leadership, globally positioning young leaders, bringing top talent from around the world to engage in the most brilliant sort of leadership, cultural exposure type of ideas. We're really grateful today to be able to go to a sensitive subject around youth, parents' most valuable asset, to think about how you can position your youth to be competitive at the highest level, going behind their brand now to position them at the next generation of top leaders around the world. And believe me, it's not just America, everywhere in the world. South Korea is going through chaos in leadership, you know, all across the African continent, Brazil, South America. There is a global leadership crisis, and this is the best opportunity at the moment to have a very healthy conversation about global leadership. We're really grateful that you decided to pop in while you're in South Africa. All the best in your travels.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded. Thank you so much for subscribing. You can email me directly, timothymaurice@gmail.com, if you have any sort of questions about further, and I can put you in contact with Rick and his team locally. Again, we really appreciate everyone who's following Unbranded, and we are grateful for the feedback as well, and we'll see you next week.
CliffCentral.com.